Hello, and welcome to our Children's Rights in Action podcast series. Here at Children's Parliament, we believe that children should grow up in a world of love, happiness, and understanding. It's our mission to inspire greater awareness and understanding of the power of children's human rights and to support the implementation of the United Nations Convention on the Rights of the Child, the UNCRC, into Scots law. We're looking forward to sharing this with you through our conversations. Today, we want to focus on the importance of play throughout our lifetimes, the benefits play can bring to all ages, and the long-lasting impact that playing can have.
Hi there, my name is Jess, and I am the Communications and Campaign Manager here at Children's Parliament. We're on a mission at Children's Parliament to make the UNCRC and a children's rights-based approach feel more of an everyday way of being for everyone, and to show how when we treat children with love, kindness, dignity and respect, it has positive benefits for our whole communities. It's not just upholding rights because it's your job, but because it offers the best outcomes for children. Now, we don't usually name the rights. We know that children's human rights are indivisible, and we can't offer a rights-based approach if we're not upholding all of them at once. So instead, we would often talk about what children need to feel happy, healthy, and safe in their home, school, and community. However, today, we are going to focus a little bit more on Article 31, so the right to play, leisure, culture, and rest, but with a particular interest in play itself, and throw a little bit of a spotlight on the intergenerational benefits to play. So, I am joined today by Gerry Flanagan of Shifting Sands Theatre and Katie Logie, who is a project worker on our CHRD, that's our Children's Human Rights Defenders Programme here at Children's Parliament. And I will now stop dominating this conversation and pass along to Gerry. Would you like to introduce yourself, please?
Hi, hello, I'm Gerry Flanagan. I'm Artistic Director of Shifting Sands Theatre Company. We're a touring theatre company. We're not based in a theatre. We go everywhere and anywhere. Moved up to Scotland. And our work is based upon play. We're a clown theatre company. The word clown and play sort of can instill different sort of reactions. We're clown, not in terms of circus, but in terms of playing with stupidity. So just think more of things like Fawlty Towers or Buster Keaton, Fools and Horses or something, or Father Ted. I mean, these are stupid people. So it's very playful. It's not about big makeup and big boots and stuff. But also we're very much into the opposite of that, of this, which is tragedy. So clown and tragedy is what I really love. So all the work is based upon play. Play is a very positive thing. When one plays, one is free, is lacking in judgment, just having a good time. And when people have a good time, that's pretty much who they are. We find out who you are when you play. It's not like we're investigating you, but we get on with you well, and we think that's you. And it probably largely is pretty much you when you play. So it's a way to get to know people, and you tend to play with people you know. They're called friends. So we want to get friendly, we want to become friends and break down barriers and whatever. I mean, like a good friend also tells you the truth, which is a bit, but that's what they're for. They tell you the truth and you accept it, but in a playful way. So play is energizing, it's non-judgmental, and we find out, we make discoveries through play. It's inventive and creative, and it's educational without using that horrible, it's hard to avoid that horrible word. So education isn't something that you sort of get when you go to school. You do get educated when you go to school, university, or the rest of that. But I mean, life is education, and experience is education, and discovery is education. Your grandmother didn't go to university, probably. But I mean, she was maybe the wisest person you ever knew. And she would tell you what's what. So play is the base of our work. Yeah. It's not frippery, it's not a spoof. I love all the stuff that we do. It's not making fun of things just for the sake of it. We play with stuff because you love them. You really cherish and want them and love it.
That is brilliant. Thanks, Joey. And you're right, actually. My grandma was one of the wisest people that I knew. And she would have loved that. She was a big, big fan of play. Katie, would you like to introduce yourself as well, please?
I feel like that's a hard introduction to follow. I loved that sort of rousing speech. Hello, I am Katie Logie. I am a project worker at Children's Parliament and I've been here for just over a year now. I've previously worked as a youth worker for a local charity and also in tourism and other fun jobs too. After I graduated with a drama and theatre arts degree at the University of Birmingham in 2018. And at my time in Birmingham, I also spent a bit of time doing clowning. I did a practical dissertation piece based on the art of clowning, did a lot of research around it then. And I feel that I bring play and fun into my role at Children's Parliament every day. So it's been a pleasure getting to know Jerry and learning more about his work. And I'm looking forward to chatting more today about that.
Absolutely. And I suppose as well, so, you know, Jerry, at Children's Parliament, we play quite a lot. And we're often playing with children. So it's our project workers will often lead through play or be led by the children through play, I should say. But I wondered, from your experience, I know you've kind of said this a little bit in your introduction, but why do you think it's important for adults to play?
Okay, Plato said it all. You learn more about a person in an hour of play than in a year of chat. I think he might have used the word conversation. But, and it's like you don't grow too old. You don't stop playing because you grow old. You grow old because you stop playing. That's Plato. I mean, he knew a thing or two. But I just think it's right. It's energizing. Play in our culture, perhaps we associate it with children. But I mean, I don't think that's particularly useful. I think that we sort of, I sort of understand that. But we play all our lives. Yeah. We might not always know it, but I mean, basically when we're having a good time, it could be just like from going to the disco and trying those moves to chatting someone up to cooking, or I don't know, you find out stuff by investigating and by playing. But the thing about play is that it's interactive, it involves other people. And so it's creative and like, you don't stop. So it's not, you know, it's for everyone. I mean, I mean, some kids are rubbish at play. And some adults are brilliant. But it's a way of discovering sort of the world and who you are and so on. And so it's not age related at all.
No, and I know we've talked before when we've had these conversations, Jerry, about kind of how play leads to confidence building or team building and those sorts of spaces.
Definitely, yeah. I mean, so you interact. So it's not a one-to-one. You're part of a group. Or at least there's someone else sort of there. And that's the huge benefit. So you try stuff out. You reinforce. You make discoveries. You develop your confidence. And you're able then to support other people. Yeah, by supporting other people, by playing with them, you learn from them and you then are able then to take risks or go a bit your own way. And then you've got the group, you know, you've got the people there to sort of fall back on when you need to. And so, you know, you're all playing, if you like, you're playing in the band, you've got a good rhythm section sort of going, and then you have a few solos. And like anyone can solo, but then you're back in the band, you're playing together. And that's what we want to do, I think. I mean, think of the best times you've had in your life. It's just that you, when you forget about yourself and you're lost with other people, if you like, yeah? And you're not even considering that, yeah? But it's inventive, it's playful, confidence building. You develop your intelligence through what you do and by what you discover, and you become responsive. Apparently, I read a thing sort of recently, human intelligence peaked 10,000 years ago. It's all been going downhill. It's a bit of a, I don't know, a provocative sort of thing. But this is a scientific sort of thing. I've given a conference recently, and it was like, his argument was that in the world of hunter-gatherers, you were really together. You were responsive. You worked as a group. Everyone knew their specialisms, and you were responsive all day. And also, you weren't working all the time either. You had loads of flipping leisure to make discoveries, yeah, to make things and so on. You know what I mean? And it's like farming sort of wrecked all that. But anyway, it's just this, it's a bit of a provocative point of view. But like that was an engagement with the environment, and it's an engagement with each other, and it's a collective thing that was happening, and a sharedness. Whereas our culture is, unfortunately, a lot of people are quite isolated, or not as connected as perhaps they would like to be. And play allows that, enables that to happen, that connectedness to find that again.
No, that's brilliant, thank you. And actually, and Jerry, as you're talking, as you have done on many occasions, you're making me think, and I'm going to do a Camarades plug, but you are making me think of the Camarades movement and their play through, they do a campaign called Life is Pants. If you haven't looked at it, you really need to look it up, where they run around streets in giant pants to spark conversations. And they have six core principles, but it's all around this understanding that people need community and purpose, and I just think that's brilliant. And I think play absolutely comes into that, and that's certainly somewhere as well where we see adults play, which is just smashing. Katie, what are the benefits of play that you feel come into your work at Children's Parliament?
So much, and actually so much of what Jerry was saying, I was just like noting down some of the sort of keywords that you were saying there, Jerry, about sort of discovering the world and supporting each other and developing confidence. And I love the band analogy too. I think that was so perfect. And I think that really fits into a lot of how I try and bring that into the work at Children's Parliament as well. I think a really important part of play that I find is about coming to the children's level and meeting them at their spot instead of training them to come up to an adult's level. A lot of my work is with some of the top decision makers in Scotland and getting them in a room with a group of children to hear their sort of views and ideas and opinions. And often, or from the experiences I've had anyway, they do expect a meeting with children to be sat at a round table where they make a speech and do a presentation and put on their little tie as an 8-year-old and come in with their briefcase and hear their feedback in a very adult way. And to me, this just isn't how we should approach the situation, because it isn't how children would approach the situation. If you want to kind of meaningfully engage with children and young people, you need to make it fun and you need to make it playful and you need to make sure that the children are engaged in a way that suits them. And I think that that is key, actually, in this role. In terms of sort of the supporting others and the developing confidence side of play as well, I think it's a really important part of relationship building in my role. We often visit children in their school, which can be quite a focused and sometimes quite an educational space, maybe somewhere that they're not familiar with playing unless it's outside at break time. So I think if I tend to go into those spaces quite larger than life, with my silly hat on and encouraging sort of exploration and fun and play. You feel that shift in the room immediately because they trust you. They see that you are meeting them where they want to be. You're ready to have fun and engage with them, and they're ready to have fun and engage with you. And so I think it makes sure that there's sort of better results in consultations because it gets them to think about an issue through their lens. So a good example that has only just happened is the milk and uniform consultation that we're doing at the moment, where we're finding out what children think about school milk scheme and the school uniform scheme. And I've been into some schools recently to talk to children about their school uniform and how it feels. And so to do this, we went outside into the playground and played a massive game of port and starboard, played a big game of sharks and fishes, which is bulldogs by another name, played tag, played all these games, got them running around, hot and sweaty. And then we went back inside and said, how did that feel in the clothes that you're wearing? And immediately you got some amazing answers and amazing thoughts and ideas, because you make them think about it in a way that they actually care about, and it feels important to them that they can go outside at break and play and run around in their uniform and still feel comfortable. Yeah, and selfishly, on a selfish level, I think it also benefits my job, because when I make it fun for the children, most of the time it means I'm having fun as well and I'm playing too. One of my favorite things to do in the job is to pretend that I'm not me. So when we were doing the uniform consultation, we put on a fashion week at school and they got to design their own uniforms, and I pretended that I was a fashion critic flying in from New York, and just put on some big sunglasses and an accent. And I've never you know, some of the children were like, is Kim Kardashian coming? And it just makes it so much more exciting, and maybe disappointing when they see that it's me. But it makes it so much more fun to just create a bit of buzz and a bit of play, and to see that I'm willing to play and be silly as well, and get that side out of it.
Absolutely. And I'm really aware that actually, so far I've asked you both about kind of what play looks like in work. And what I'm going to ask you now is, considering both of your backgrounds, sorry, Jerry, would you like, have I skipped over? Please come back in.
Just one thing, really. Some people, not everyone, play is just sort of craziness. It's anarchy. It's like there's no rules, or I don't know, something like that. Play, you have rules, yeah? If you're playing a game, people are having fun. But if you mess up on the rules, the game starts, hey, hang on, yeah? They'll point out what the rule is, yeah? And then you're back playing again and everything's okay. You know what I mean? So play isn't anarchy. It's not like anyone doing whatever they want to do. It allows freedom of expression and finding stuff, but there are rules, and these rules allow you to have freedom to play and make discoveries. Yeah. So that's one thing I wanted to say. And then the other thing is that within games, people have different responsibilities, or even different statuses in some games. So they take charge of that bit, and others support them. And then someone else will take charge for that bit. So again, this is all confidence building. It's working as a group, it's being responsive, taking risks. And so you're playing different status. And all, I mean, it's a rich thing, and that's really important for growth and experience. Forgot to mention those things.
No, not at all. Thank you for interrupting me. That was that. Do you know, I started off going down the minefield of Monopoly at Christmas and thinking about, you know, the amount of different rules that we all have for that. But then I was also thinking, you know, that's a lovely analogy between play and children's rights, actually, and thinking about kind of the different roles people have in upholding rights. And
exactly.
We often talk about duty bearers as the people that have the responsibility to uphold the rights, and parents as being advocates of rights, children hold the rights. But we all need to treat each other with love, empathy, kindness, dignity to create that community that we're all participating in. So I thought that was a beautiful analogy, actually.
People need to listen to each other.
Very much so.
And the listening needs to be positive, not just I've heard what you've said, but they listen and they absorb. And because of that, there's a response. Yeah. That's the crucial thing. There's then a response because I've listened to you. Yeah.
Absolutely. So, Jerry, the question I was going to ask was around, I suppose, how drama and play has infected other areas of your life. So perhaps not thinking from a work theatre perspective, is, you know, how has it impacted your everyday, which is a big question.
It's just, I don't know, you don't stop playing. I don't know. It's not like I consciously go out to play or anything like that, or I consciously don't play. But you're walking, you're out for a walk, you meet someone, it's an interaction, you're playing around, you know, you put yourself down, you take the mickey out of that. I don't know, there's something goes on between you. It's called interaction. And or something like that. But it's just, it's just trying to be sort of, we want to have fun, yeah? So you've got to walk that line. And again, that's about being sensitive, you know, and it's about discovering, and it's about the interaction. It's not about winning the game. It's about playing the game and all of that sort of stuff. I don't want to turn too English on this, but anyway, but whatever. But it's about having fun together. It's not about winning. But we develop relationships through play, basically, and our best friends are those who we can play with, yeah, who will take our ups and downs, our ins and outs, and they'll dress up bonkers because you want to dress up bonkers. I don't know. They'll go with your thing, you know what I mean, and you'll go with them, so to speak. But also, you won't go too far, but with you. You interact, you find out about each other, you take risks. So there's a spontaneity that comes from play, and that goes through any conversation, hopefully, you know what I mean, and risk taking. I don't know, it doesn't stop. I don't know. There isn't a boundary. I don't clock off.
No. Which again, my comms brain around rights is also ticking, going, and we don't clock off on rights either. You know, it's behavioural. It's a way of being. It's an approach, isn't it? It's a mindset, a way of life, way of being. Yeah. Katie, is there anything you want to add from, you know, your perspective of what play looks like in a workday / more everyday life? Perspective.
I think, to be fair, I think Jerry's definitely covered it pretty well. I think play can be a scary word for adults, in the same way that drama can, and I really feel like drama feeds into my work so much, and so many of the people that even we work with, Jess, are like, oh no, I don't like drama. And then I watch them facilitate and I'm like, okay, but you're doing it. So, you know, I think it doesn't mean a performance, and it doesn't mean a theatrical debut. I think, you know, like Jerry says, it's playing a game. It's having fun with your friend, it's cooking in the kitchen, it's walking down the streets listening to some music, and it can be building something, it's imagination. And I think it's like absolutely ingrained in what Children's Parliament does, and it's so ingrained that a lot of people just don't even realize it's happening. I think as well, you know, I always say that at some point in their life, someone should do a drama class or a clowning class or some kind of something along those lines, because I think it just teaches you to like completely lose your inhibitions and have a laugh, basically. You know, I was involved in a youth theatre programme all through my childhood to young adulthood, and like it's fundamentally shaped who I am and how I approach the world, today. You know, it means I can work in a team. It means I've got a lot of creativity and a strong imagination and public speaking skills and all these things that people just don't see the benefits of unless it's spelled out to you a bit, I think. But yeah, I think play for me is really about telling stories, and I think that is what Children's Parliament does.
That's really super, thank you. And I agree, I think you're absolutely spot on in that way of telling stories, and it's both sharing stories as well. It's a lot about sharing other people's stories, the children's stories, different experiences, and be that through play or different narratives, which is so important because that's how we get our connection, isn't it? Which I suppose is what we're looking for. I'm aware that we're coming up to the end of our time. So I just wondered, the purpose of these episodes is really, we're hoping that people, as they listen to us, are either seeing themselves reflected or their own work reflected, or perhaps picking up tips and tricks or spaces that they might want to go to next to learn a little bit more. And so I wondered if either of you, both of you, have any recommendations for where, if somebody was listening to us today, where they could go next to find out more about play through life. Jerry, do you want to go first?
Okay, yeah. Well, in terms of play, the Bible, or one of the Bibles, is Impro by Keith Johnson. You just get it. I mean, it's simple sort of little play exercises and so on. But then there's all sorts of people. I mean, Joseph Chilton Pierce, yeah, check him out, yeah? So he's a psychologist, American. Like, play, he says, he wrote, play is the only way the highest intelligence of humankind can evolve, yeah? Which sounds heavy duty, big stuff, but it's the truth. And then you got Friedrich Froebel. Play is the highest expression of human development in childhood, for it alone is the free expression of what is in a child's soul. I'm going to say it again. Play is the highest expression of human development in childhood, for it alone is the free expression of what is in a child's soul. Friedrich Froebel, he founded the kindergarten in 1852. So a lot of stuff, you can blame him for stuff if you like, but a lot came from him and that idea of play. And then there's Brecht and Boal, Forum Theatre, using, Boal was a politician and an educator from Brazil. And he was like a town councillor, and he used play to involve his community in decision-making. Yeah, in making sort of local sort of laws, if you like. And then there's Paulo Freire, Pedagogy of the Oppressed. Similar thing, stronger in some ways. And some of the quotes of him, I don't know. If the structure does not permit dialogue, the structure must be changed. So it's so important that there's dialogue. That's just not listening to someone. It's a two-way thing. And without a sense of identity, there can be no real struggle. You've got to help people, whoever it is, kids, old people, the handicapped, whoever, to have a sense of identity. If they haven't, they're just at the sidelines somewhere or not even heard or seen. So play helps develop your identity.
Jerry, before I give my recommendations, can I get you to tell us where people could find you if they want to learn more about how you play and how your theatre company plays?
Oh yeah, the other way to develop your play is it paid me loads of money, and I'll come and help you play. No, not necessarily loads of money, but some money. Anyway, good coffee at least. Well, the website, come to me through the Shifting Sands website. So www.shiftingsandstheatre.co.uk. So you can get a hold of me through that.
Thank you. My just a wee handful of recommendations on top of what Jerry's already said. Somewhere to look for a really good resource of children's rights and play is one of our Children's Parliament resources that already exists, the Children's Human Rights Defenders Toolkit, which is a sort of programme of play and fun to help you turn into a children's human rights defender. Another company that we're going to give a wee shout out to is Lickety Spit, which is an early years theatre company. This is straight from their website, that focus on sparking imagination and children's rights through theatre and drama-led play, and their website is full of brilliant resources. And my last little recommendation is just your local theatre group, whether that be to watch them or to join their classes, or some theatres do like writing experiences and things like that as well, just because A, we should all be supporting our local theatre, but B, it's a great way to see it in action. That's it.
That's really super. Thank you both. And what I'll do is I'll write those websites out into the info sort of blurb description bit of this episode so that they're easy for everyone to find, which will be super. So I just want to thank you both so much for your time today. It's been really super to chat to you. I've really enjoyed it. And we hope to see you all soon.
Thank you ever so much for listening to today's episode. If you'd like to learn more about our work, please visit www.childrensparliament.org.uk.